The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
So today we continue our series in the book of Luke. If you would turn there, Luke chapter 1, we will read verses 26 and 33. If you're able to, please rise as a reverence to the Word of God. We will read together just a few verses here. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 33 this morning. Let's read together in verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Came into her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Thus far is the reading of God's word, and it's been my prayer for you this week that it be a blessing to you, it be a blessing in your hearing, and that you'd be challenged by the preaching of God's word this morning. You may be seated. When I read a passage like this, my mind goes back to the Old Testament record of how powerful and equally dreadful angels are. And turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 19. In the Old Testament, 2 Kings is found right next to 1 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 19. The context here, ladies and gentlemen, is the king of Assyria, that is modern-day Iraq and Syria, had launched a military conquest, conquering city after city after city, as the Assyrian army moved west towards the Mediterranean Sea. And he sent a letter to King Hezekiah, the king of Judah, telling him, you're next, buddy. You're next. Essentially, the letter carried this message. Don't think that Jehovah, your God, can save you, Hezekiah. The gods of the nations, they were helpless. As we razed their cities to the ground, they were smashed to smithereens when we came upon them. And your God, Jehovah Hezekiah, will be no exception. You might as well surrender now before we kill you, your wife, and your children. And do you know what Hezekiah did? Look at 2 Kings 19, beginning in verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and what class? Spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, Thou art the God. Even thou alone, of all kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. And then Hezekiah concludes with these powerful words. Verse 19. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know what God did after that prayer? He deployed one angel. Look at verses 35 and 36. And it came to pass that night. Was that a 12-hour night or was that an 8-hour night? I don't know. That the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. That is 385.42 soldiers per minute in an 8-hour period. One angel killing 185,000 soldiers. Look at verse number 36. So the king went home and returned and dwelt at Nineveh, and eventually he died at the swords of his own sons. Why? Because he blasphemed the Lord God of Israel. And God deployed only one angel to kill hundreds of thousands of soldiers in one night. And that's why you can see the powerful and majestic experience, presence of an angel here. That's why we can understand why the priest Zacharias was scared to death when he saw Gabriel. And that's why you can understand why Mary would be troubled at this sight. Nonetheless, she didn't panic. She didn't lose control of herself. As so many teenagers today might react, oh my goodness, I'm going to faint. Nonetheless, the words of the angel, fear not, Mary, because Mary was troubled, but she employed her wits about her to decipher whether this meeting with the angelic being was real or fake. By the way, girls, boys, teenagers, whenever there is an address given to you, a young man perhaps giving you a nice compliment, girls, and they would say something like, oh, you look nice. Oh, I like your hair. Whatever it is. Don't be flattered and all of a sudden fall for the guy. Oh my goodness, I love him. Don't do that. Take the example of Mary here. By all accounts of historical documents, she was probably between 12 and 13. But she had her maturity about her to decipher whether this was fake or true. And look at the words there. Go to Luke chapter 1 in our text. She said, verse number 29, Luke 1:29. when she saw him, she was troubled and saying, and cast in her mind. She discerned it. She deciphered it. She didn't go into panic mode. She didn't go into fainting mode. She didn't go into any of that. So take the example of this young woman, Mary. She used her smarts to discern what kind of a dress this was. And so teenagers today, you need to consider what kind of character this boy or girl has. You need to consider the source of the compliment. Does he or she just want to flatter you for selfish gain? And then the angel Gabriel here gives Mary two reasons why she shouldn't be afraid. Number one, Mary, don't be afraid. Why? Verse 30 says, thou hast found favor with God. That's the first reason why she shouldn't be scared. That's the first reason why she shouldn't be afraid. Because you have found favor with God. What is it to have favor? Is it a bag of stuff that is given to you after you attend a friend's birthday party? Is it the tiny bag of M&Ms that is given to you after you spend a $100 tuxedo attending your friend's wedding? While those might be called party favors, they nowhere nearly defines what we see here as a favor with God. To find favor with God is to be given blessings that you don't deserve. Let me ask you a question about Mary's cousin, Elizabeth. Did Elizabeth deserve to have a baby? No, she didn't deserve to have a baby. It is God's prerogative to give a blessing like that, especially when she's 85 years old. The Bible says this, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. What is that? That is a gift of the Lord. That is a blessing of the Lord. Do you want a blessing from the Lord? Have children. It's amazing in our society today that we would prevent blessings from the Lord by doing everything we can not to have children. Isn't that an amazing, amazing idea? Children are an heritage, a gift, a blessing of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. It is His gift. It is His heritage. It is His blessing. It is His prerogative to give that. It is God's prerogative to give children. And so we see here that to find favor with God is to be given a blessing by God. Do you know what the root word is behind the translation favor? Charis. Do you know what that means in English? Grace. Grace, it means to be treated with undeserved kindness. And so let's look at the details of this angelic announcement. A delectable detail here we find in verse 28. Look at the phrase. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art, what class? Highly favored. How many ladies do you think in the nation of Israel would do everything to become highly favored with God? Ever since the first mention of the gospel in Genesis 3:15, you will recall it says this, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Ever since that proclamation, thousands of years prior to this, many, a daughter of Eve, would have imagined if she was going to be the one who would carry the seed who shall strike the death blow of the greatest enemy, Satan. How many millions of Jewish women would have desired this? And yet, this favor now has finally come to Mary. Reichen writes, quote, "Like many people in Israel, she was a poor, uneducated peasant living in a small country town far from the center of power. As people said in those days, can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Let me pause here for a minute and be relevant about this phrase. You know, when I went to Idlewild, California last year with the youth, I met a pastor there who said, "Hey, where are you from?" And at that time, maybe 2 years ago, at that time, I came from the beautiful city of Yucca Valley. And this pastor is from Moreno Valley. And there was another pastor there who was asking, "Where is Yucca Valley?" Well, this pastor from Moreno Valley said, he raised his hand like this. And I'm like, "What's he doing?" He raised his hand like this. He says, "If Moreno Valley was here, Yucca Valley was here." Just saying. This was one of those cities. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Reichen continues to say, Mary not only came from a know-nothing city, get this, she was also a female in a culture that discounted women. From a merely human perspective, she was insignificant. And Kent Hughes says, Mary was a nobody in a nothing town in the middle of nowhere. And yet, she is highly favored. Look at another detail, verse number 28. "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored." What's the next phrase, class? "The Lord is with thee." What a remarkable promise. For the Christian, we have this promise too. You will recall that on the deathbed of Jacob, the father of Israel, Israel himself, he said to his favored son Joseph, "Behold, I die, but God shall be with you." On the eve of battle, the Israelite soldiers were given very specific encouragement. "And it shall be when ye are come nigh unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you." And all throughout the life of the nation of Israel, it is these words which encourage them to persevere in persecutions, to persevere through exiles, to persevere through all kinds of tragedies in the life of their nation. "I am with you." During the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, the prophet Haggai records the encouragement of the Lord. "Yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." These words are not only given to the Jews, these words are given to Christians as well. And as Christ was about to ascend into heaven, he said these words, "Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Another delectable detail that we find here in verse number 28 is this. Blessed art thou among women. Blessings are remarkable enough, but to be blessed among others is cause for overwhelming joy. Hey, Christian, today, let me remind you that you are favored. The Lord is with you. That you are blessed with many spiritual blessings, which should cause you to leap for joy. And turn to Ephesians with me. Ephesians chapter 1. Look with me, verses 3 to 7. And count the blessings which you have as a dear believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3. Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed who? Us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath what? Chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You know this, ladies and gentlemen? That is the same idea as the angelic being tells Mary, you are highly favored. We find that here in this phrase, we are made accepted in the Beloved. Continue in verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Have you gotten forgiveness of sins from God? Say amen. The forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Jump to verse number 11. In whom we have obtained an inheritance. Anybody here got $1 million from your rich uncle? God is the owner of everything in the universe, and you will get an inheritance. In fact, you are an inheritor of that. We are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Look at verse number 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. So Mary, the angel says, don't be scared. Don't be afraid. You're highly favored. You are blessed among women. The second reason why she shouldn't be scared is what we find in verse 31. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 31. Go back to our text. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. What did the angel say? And behold, thou shalt what, class? Conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call His name Jesus. In the book of Matthew, we are told that the name Jesus means He shall save His people from their sins. Joshua was a type of Jesus. In fact, Joshua or Yeshua bears the same name. Yeshua in Hebrew is Yesu in Greek, and we have here the English translation Jesus comes from Yeshua, which means the Lord Jehovah is salvation. This is the reason why Mary should not be scared, because she will conceive the Lord, which means salvation, the Joshua. You will conceive this Lord of salvation. Let's observe some divine details here. Number one, in verse number 32, look at, he shall be what? Great. How great? Well, the greatest, really, because this child is to be the judge. This child is to be eternal. He is eternal. His existent, he pre-existed before the foundations of the earth. He is the first and the last. It is for whom the universe is made. He is Savior. He is unique. The God-man. He is the sustainer of everything in the universe, visible or invisible. What does that mean? It means that he holds everything in the power of his word, in the power of his hand. No rogue molecule escape his control. The Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, in Colossians 1:15 says that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He sustains everything. He is in control of everything. How great is this child? How great is great? The Old Testament is replete with this adjective, which refers only to God. For example, the psalmist said, "Great is the Lord." What is that telling us? The Lord is great. And who is he calling great? Well, the Lord. And so the angel says he is going to be great. He's referring to who? The Lord is great. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. So when Gabriel used to describe Jesus, he affirms the God nature of this child. Another divine detail we find in verse number 32. He shall be great and he shall be what? The Son of the Highest. What does that mean? The Son of the Highest. Well, it's talking about the nature of God. Again, if you're the Son of the Highest, then that means you're of the same nature of the Highest. In Jesus' case, he is of the same nature as God. The psalmist David identifies who this Highest is. He says, "I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." Another divine detail we see here in verse number 32. Look at that, verse number 32. "And the Lord shall give unto him the what? Throne of his father David." We're already prepped here by Dr. Luke in that he prefaced this part of the narrative that Mary was betrothed to a man by the name of Joseph, who is in the lineage of David. Jesus was to be the rightful successor of the throne, long bereft of the right and just king. And then we see another divine detail here in verse number 33. What does that say? Verse number 33. "Then Mary," and he shall what? "Reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." In case you didn't get the previous statement, it means he will be the awaited king who is to reign over Israel. And lastly, the divine detail here that we find in verse 33 is that his kingdom shall be no end. Are you tired of the governments that we've had? His government shall be no end. The expositor, Philip Ryken, observes many similarities between John the Baptizer and Jesus the Christ, but concludes that what Luke is doing here, what Luke wants us to see, are really the differences between John and Jesus. He says, quote, "Like a white paint chip next to an off-white paint chip." Have you ever done that? You're comparing colors of white. There's off-white, there's beige, there's sharp white or whatever. The comparison is made to show the contrast. So who is greater, John or Jesus? John's mother was barren. The mother of Jesus had never been with a man at all. John would be a prophet crying in the wilderness. Jesus would reign on David's everlasting throne. John would be great before the Lord. Jesus would be great without qualification, the Son of the Most High. John would be filled with the Holy Spirit, but Jesus would be conceived by the Holy Spirit. John would prepare for God's coming, but when Jesus came, God was there in the flesh. Who is greater, John or Jesus? Luke argues from the lesser to the greater to give more glory to Jesus. Jesus was like John, but superior in every aspect, infinitely superior. This was the good news which Gabriel brought to Mary, who was troubled and felt the all too common feeling of fear. He says to Mary, "Mary, don't be scared." Why? Number one, because you're highly favored. Number two, because you shall conceive Jesus. How's this applied in our life this morning? Let me ask you this question. What is it that scares you the most? Be not afraid. There is good news. For the non-believer today, the most scary thing for you would be the wrath of God. Now hear me now. The Apostle John records the Lord Jesus Christ as saying, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." The Apostle John concludes what Christ said in the following words: "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God," what? "Abides on him." That's a scary thing if you're not a believer. But there's good news. There is good news. This was the angel's announcement. Mary would give birth to a son named Jesus, who would be the great Savior and the Son of God, the most powerful ruler in the history of the world. Do you trust the angel's promise? It was written so that you would know for sure, so that you would believe in Jesus as your Savior, worship Him as your great God, and serve Him as your everlasting King. Jesus was given for the purpose of saving those who would put their trust and faith in Him. Will you believe in Him? You know what the safest place in the universe is. It is to be in Christ. Are you in Christ? Step out of your selfishness, step out of your self-righteousness, and step into Christ. For the Christian today, listen. What is it that scares you the most? Is it the coronavirus? Is it who's going to win in the 2020 election? Is it the fear of the unknown? Is it sickness that scares you? Is it old age that scares you? What's going to happen to the church? Is that what scares you? Be not afraid. You're highly favored. You're accepted into beloved. Do you struggle with daily anxiety? Throw your worries unto God, for He cares for you. Christian, He's promised you many, many things, but most of all, He promises you His presence. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, Christian, is it the fear of the unknown? The prophet Isaiah says, "Fear not thou, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Oh, Christian, you need to step out of your seat and come and pray to God right now. Lay out your burdens unto Him. Cast them down unto the Lord. All your anxieties, all the fears of the unknown. The message to you is this: fear not. Fear not. As it was given by the angel Gabriel to the young woman Mary, this message is for you. Fear not.